If you could start off by just like saying your name and introducing yourself so we have a sense of who's at the table. I can start. My name is Aisha Turner, the race and ethnicity reporter with Milwaukee Public Radio.
I'm Latoya Dennis, a general assignment reporter with Milwaukee Public Radio.
I'm Shonda Payne.
And you already know I'm Thaddeus Ashford.
All right. And so we're here today to talk about the BBC documentary Murder in Milwaukee. And so just to kind of start off with the two of you, Shonda and Taz, you're both featured pretty heavily in the documentary. And I'm wondering if you all have seen it and sort of what your general reaction was.
I definitely have not watched the documentary. I watched the little snippets. And from that point, really didn't have an interest to go further because it was not featuring me in the best light. So, I mean, why torture myself any further? Taz?
Me personally, I didn't indulge in seeing it. I didn't want to see it. I didn't really too much care for it after the fact. I seen all the feedback from it. Like, you know, I just had the vibe off the feedback and then didn't want to see it because it was just seemed like to be a negative thing when it all came to light. Like, when we was first doing, you know, the segment on our part, you know, we was putting a word out there and trying to put awareness out there that we was, you know, victims of police brutality. But then when, you know, after it's all surfaced after a year, this, you know, film coming out is the whole, like, reason they came over here was something more than they was here for, you know, especially on my end, like, you know what I mean? And like I said, I never seen it. It was just from all the feedback that I seen, it was all negative, and I ain't like that vibe, so I just never indulged in seeing something, you know, something like that.
What were people saying to you all about it?
On my end, there was a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people were, you know, prayers with you and your family, respect you for doing what you're doing to protect your family. Some people were, you are utterly ridiculous to have 9 firearms in one house. Some people were, can I have your autograph? Some people were, it was mixed reviews. It wasn't anything that you just want to sit down and dedicate too much time to, because I've got a lot of patience, but with some of the comments, you know, they were kind of forcing me back to be that 90s child. I wasn't going in the right direction, so it's better to shut up than say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you'll ever watch it?
I'll get around to it, but like I said, with 12 children, 2 jobs, husband, and a house to clean, and school, and it's just not on the top of my agenda.
What did you think it was going to be, the documentary?
What they portrayed it to be initially was that they were coming about the violence and the things that were happening, but like I said, it was shot over a year period, and it just was not a whoop-wop-da-bam kind of thing. It was a year-long process. And what we thought was going to happen was that they were going to start with, when I initially came to that area and started Unity in the community, it was a war zone. And the efforts that we all put in, Freedom Fighters, Program the Parks, Unity Community, Veal Gang, several other organizations that came together. God's Hands Church was opening at that point. And we all came together to better the area. And a lot of changes happened. A lot of things are different. A lot of the shootings and murders have decreased by 68%. And none of that was depicted. You know, it was stuck on that first initial thing that they all came for, which was, how many shootings can we see? How many people can we watch die? What part is who playing in this? And at the time we were filming, I believe there were 3 murders within a block, 2 in front of my house and 1 within the block radius. So it was not what we anticipated it to be.
Can you talk a little bit about what unity and community is?
What unity in the community is, being a part of the Vice Lords for 28 years, what I did is I took the initiative to say a lot of the violence was happening between, you know, the 2 different gangs, you know, senseless, fighting over nothing, pretty much. And watching my kids grow up, and all are mainly boys, and the chances of their survival out here are slim to none if things continue to be the way that they are. So, saying, you know, what part could I do to bring together growth and development, Vice Lords, to say, you know, let's sit down, let's have a round table, let's figure out why, who, what, when, where, and why this is happening. And their people sat down, talked with me. We came to an agreement of a ceasefire. And that changed a lot of things, you know. A lot of the shootings that you're seeing now are not gang-related. They're just random acts of people pretty much not rearing their kids, you know. The government has stepped in and said, you can't do this to your kid, you can't do that to your kid, you can't do that. And where does that leave the kids? The kids say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, so I can do this. And I'm a hands-on parent, so I believe in none of that. And mine truly understand, from my youngest to my oldest, I tolerate no games, no disrespect in the community, in my home. And it is what it's going to be in my house. And if you're out there, you will not be disrespectful when your pants are hanging down and you're selling dope and you're hanging on the corner and you're, you know, you come to my house at any given day. If my kids aren't in school, the ones that are in college, the ones that are at work, the ones that are in elementary school, that's where they are, or in that house. They're not hanging out. That's just something we don't do.
When do you think you started to see that change? You talked about how it used to be that a lot of the violence was because of stuff that was happening with gangs, and then it changed.
I believe once we got the 501(c) and people believed that, you know, the word gang, I just don't sit well with, you know. I believe that, you know, people can change, you know, things can happen in lives if you have the right people behind you. And there were a lot of right people behind me. There were a lot of people behind me that helped me go further in school, get these college degrees, do different with my life, looking at my kids, and knowing that, you know, I wanted to see each one of them not make the same mistakes that I made. And I made a lot of them. So just wanting that. And these kids look up to the people that are the drug dealers, the gun toters, the, you know, it's a lore of life. It's fascinating in some type of way, because more than likely, home life is much worse. It was for me. So I turned to the streets, and it had a better look than home. And it's what I did. And unfortunately, I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of worth. You know, I could have did a lot better with my life a lot sooner had I known better. You know, if you know better, you do better. And I just want to take a lot of these kids and take them with me, you know. A lot of the young girls are suffering abuse at home, and whether that be physical, sexual, whatever. And outside looks a lot better than inside. So it's usually where they go. And they end up being in crime, prostitutes, whatever, drug dealers, whatever it may be. But it's definitely a calling, you know. It's some child saying something, and nobody's paying attention.
So I think what I was trying to ask is, so at what point did you start to see a change in the violence in the community, moving from, like, you know, disputes between these two opposing groups to disputes between just people? Do you get what I'm?
Yeah, okay. Once I was able to produce that paperwork saying, mm-hmm. now we are recognized as an organization, no longer quote-unquote gang, people started to believe that they could do something different, and that, you know, you don't have to stand on the corner and sell dope. You don't have to, you know, hustle all day long. You can get a job and still be looked at as the cool person. You can go on to get a degree and nobody's looking at you like, oh, you sold out, or you know. Like I said, I have no desire to leave Vice Lord at all. I plan to stay there, and the kids that have the desire to want to be belonging to something, more than likely because of the home situation, they can do it being lawyers, doctors, whatever they desire to be. And it doesn't have to be that you're shooting somebody down. It doesn't have to be that you're robbing somebody. It doesn't have to be in a negative light. It can be, you can be that and belong to something that's just as positive.
Is that something that you talked to the VVC about?
Oh, definitely. But like I said, they took the bits and pieces that they wanted from that. And, you know, it's media, you know. Who's going to watch me cooking rice and reading to my kids? You know, who wants to see that? It was exaggerated. It was sensationalized. We all know Milwaukee has its issues, its problems, but Milwaukee is also a great place, can be a better place, but it takes the grassroots people, Taz, myself, Freedom Fighters, Program the Parks, people with a passion to stick it out and be brave enough to walk those streets, patrol those streets, do what there aren't enough police to do. And we just happen to be those people.
I was curious how they presented it to you, Taz, the documentary.
Well, they presented it to me as they wanted to, you know, film basically what we was going through, because it basically struck, you know, an ear somewhere in London, and it brought to their attention, you know, what we went through here about us losing Seville, you know, due to police brutality. So, you know, we was willing, like, you know what, they don't want to give us our, you know, closure here where we at, our, in our hometown, our own state. So what we'll do, we'll agree to let a foreign, you know, country, let their news publicize what we're going through here from us, as long as they get it from us and not talking, you know, to somebody around the fact that they're talking to the main source of it all, we're cool with that fact. So, you know, that's how we let them come in and film what they got from us. You know, that's what we agreed to. Yeah, we'll talk about, you know, police brutality to the, you know, on the inner city black man. You know, we'll let y'all do that. This was something we going through for a fact. Y'all see this now. So that's what we agreed to. But, you know, when they start coming with the interview and everything like that, we start doing it. That's when, you know, like, questions start coming out about how many kids you got, how many baby mamas you got, and like, you know what I mean? Do you have guns and all, like, all type of, you know, questions. And I wasn't trying to be rude. So I was, you know, trying to just answer the questions as best as I could, but, you know, not to take it to where they was really trying to just make me just blurt out anything to basically get they full coverage how they was really was seeking. Like, I had the eye and I said, you know what, this ain't really, they asking too many, you know, sideline questions. They ain't even really sticking to the main, you know, script. But how they took it and how they, you know, presented it when it really fully came out, I was like, oh, this is just something they came and did whenever. Like, I don't know what they talking about. You know, but then they're like, oh, no, you in the documentary, too. And that's what it was. I'm like, what? They murder in Milwaukee. I'm like, what? That's the name of it? I'm like, oh, my God. Like, man, I ain't. Then I'm like, man, let me hear it. So I said, I was just hearing a lot of negative feedback on it. I didn't really want to sit back and watch it or anything. Only thing I ever watched was when the news, you know, put it out there. That's the farthest I ever seen anything. Like, other than that, I haven't seen the footage. I haven't seen the document. I don't want to see it. The negative feedback, the negative vibe off of it, I don't want it. That's why I'm here now to, you know, it's a lot of stuff that me personally, that I've been out here doing, you know, just to be doing it. Like, it ain't something like I'm just, you know, it's just something that people should have. Like, it ain't there. You know, you got people out here just want to just help and want to make sure that the next person is, you know, can get home, or the next person got some clothes on their back, the next person got a full, you know, full stomach. That's the person I am. Like, and that's the person I love to be. And I got kids. So it's like, I want them to really look up to something. I want people to be in the community like, well, your daddy did this, your father did this. Like, you know, he helped us out with this, like, on a hard time. He did this, and we never asked him for nothing. Like, he just came out and just helped. That's what it is. That's what we've been doing now. They never covered anything like that. Like I said, we was in Sherman Park a couple months ago, and we gave out over 300-some book bags to kids and everything like that. Like, you know, the whole thing was lit to see all them faces and all that, you know what I mean? So, like, it's a lot of stuff we've been doing. Like, we've been doing barbecues where we've been spending our own money and just giving stuff away. Like, you know what I mean? To be honest with you, like, I had an incident, and I ended up having some money that I had put up for my rent, you know, because I had an incident in my house. My house got kicked in, whatever like that. So I had my rent. My landlord said, look, I'll work something out for you, whatever like this. I see you, your house got kicked in, whatever like that. So I give you like a month and a half to cover this rent. You know what I mean? I know you got to recover all the stuff that you lost and everything like that. I said, okay, cool. All my stuff that I lost was material. And I'm like, man, I'm not finna put no material stuff back in my house. So since he gave me a month and a half to, you know, cover everything that I lost, so what I'm finna do, I took my rent money and we bought more book bags and we bought more stuff and more supplies to give away for the kids. You know what I mean? So then I still got my rent covered and everything like that. I'm good. I'm caught up. I'm good at things. But this just go to show you, like, I was still in a messed up predicament. I still put my personal problems to the side. I'm like, you know, the community, these kids need this. I ain't finna be, you know, just down and out, and, you know, and people need something that I told them I was guaranteed I'm gonna do. So I just still, you know, I still do stuff. I still am gonna do stuff. I'm not gonna let BBC, some new cast, sit back there and to try to use me to deteriorate my culture, my race, by a misagenda or a hidden agenda they try to come over and do. That's not the purpose. That's not what that film was about. That was not what my intentions of being in that film was about. You know, that's what not Sedan and the whole rest of any family member, anybody in Ville Game was not in. That was not intention for that. Our intention was to get there. Hey, listen, we victims of police brutality, and we need to be heard. And we ain't finna back down from this. We ain't finna be like, okay, we crying, we mourning. No, we finna stand up and we finna fight. And that's what we've been doing.
Is one of your biggest concerns, I'm not sure, this is, I'm asking, but is one of your concerns the fact that it's not that what was highlighted isn't necessarily true, is that none of the positive was shown?
Yeah, it just none of the positive was there. Like, it was nothing positive was there. Like she said, this
exactly.
She has college, you know, degrees and everything like that. You know, I just posted one of her graduation pictures on my Instagram to post back on Facebook to let them, hey, BBC, y'all didn't include this. You know what I mean? Like, I got accolades that's on my refrigerator that you would think if you walk in my house, my daughter be like, oh, so many words on this refrigerator. No, them mines. Like, you know what I mean? I got them me. They didn't include that. You see what I'm saying? I do home health care and anything like that. You know, I've been doing this for a year. You know what I mean? I got four residents that I take care of. They didn't include that. You see what I'm saying? They didn't include a lot of stuff for a fact that we do. They didn't include that we go out here and we patrol, you know, neighborhoods that been victimized by people losing their life and loved ones. And we live in after hours and we didn't tuck our kids and we still out here patrolling the streets. They didn't include none of that. You know what I mean? They didn't include nothing in
the community
what we do.
Feedings we do, you know, weekly, and it's out of our own pockets. We get no funds from the state. We get no funds from anywhere. It's all collaboration of Taz, myself, Freedom Fighters, Program the Parks. We all, if one of us is doing something, we all come together and look out for one another. You know, we cook dishes, we go buy food, we hand it out, we, with nothing asked back in return. It's just, you know, and we're not looking for somebody to pat us on the back. It's just, don't project us as gun-toting, you know, thuggish, ruggish, you know, people. We all are very passionate about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and that's what matters to us.
Why does the outside perception matter? Like, why does it, like, why does it matter, like, what, like, if people watch this film, right, and they're gonna, because it's, like, such a negative portrayal, they're obviously gonna think negative things. What impact does that then have?
Okay, one, a couple of key factors why this is a big impact on the outside perspective, because that guy has for a fact has 1.7 million followers. That's just on Twitter. So if he had 1.7 million followers, just think how many followers or people have seen that. For a fact, I think within that day or within 48 hours, that film already reached 5 million viewers.
Eight.
We'll see it ballpark eight, five, well, eight. But and the thing about it is, you never know what type of resources that we could have got from any other country or anybody else that was on the outs that can help us with anything. But look at the image they're gonna portray. You trying to help them? What they gonna do? Oh, well, this is what they doing with the money? They having babies. They commit murders. They selling drugs. They
buying
telling guns. Like, this is what they doing. So you gotta understand. A lot of foreign countries. When then you gotta understand. If it's not this, if Milwaukee or Wisconsin they want to help, just think that's a foreign country. They might not want to send any of their imports to here. Like, you know, we don't want to send our money. We don't want to help those, especially the minorities. Who are the minorities? The ones that came over and filmed, the blacks. Like, you know, we don't want to help them. We want to help the ones that's doing something. Let's help the suburban areas. We don't want to help the inner city areas. Do what they're going to do. All they're going to do is multiply, have babies, sell drugs, be off drugs, and have guns and kill each other and commit homicides. That's what it is. That's why you got to look at that. It's just not know, all these Milwaukee people, they mad. No, it's not that. You got to understand, if they look at us like that, maybe they cutting off resources for us to get. Maybe they cutting off real help there for us to get from them. Like, you never know that. Like, people don't understand and think that far with this.
So, LaToya, yeah. You just finished watching the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about it?
Yeah. I think that as a journalist, we have a responsibility to the people that we report on and to the communities that we go into. And in that responsibility, I think that we have to not only be accurate, but we have to be fair, right? And we can't pick and choose the narrative, right? I mean, I'm picking the story, but I have to tell and I have to show all of you.
Right.
I can't show pieces of you that project an image that I wanted to project. Right.
And that is correctly what happened.
And I think that I think that I don't want to speak directly to it, but I mean, I think there's a way in which journalism can be irresponsible and reporters can be irresponsible. And I think there's a way in which we can also do it right. And I think part of the reason we're having this conversation is because we want to do it right, right? We want to show the entirety of people, especially the people who were featured in that documentary, because I don't think that necessarily happened.
Right. It was just, I don't even think my name came up first. I think I was addressed as murderess.
Murderess.
that was my name. It wasn't even Shonda Payne. It was murderess turned community activist. It was like, who does that? But
so Shonda, tell us who you are. I mean, we know you founded and run Unity in the Community. We know that you're a mother, but who else? Who are you? What do you, you know?
I'm just a person that wants to see a lot of change. A lot of, I think a lot of what's happening out here is our fault, you know, as the elders. We led a life of sensationalizing what we were doing. And, of course, like I said, the kids look at it and go, wow. That, you know, you see the movies, you see the, but this is real life. This is a real life person. I know this person, and, you know, I want to be just like that. And I don't want them to be the Shonda Payne that I was. I want them to be the Shonda Payne that I am. They're... were a lot of people that stepped in my life and said, you know, we see more in you. We see more in you. You know, I was a very, very smart criminal. I did everything, like, you know, I was in jail running phone lines and nobody else could do it. And everybody, you know, hey, you know, she can do this, she can do that. But a lot of people saw, let's take that and do something else with it. You know what I'm saying? Let's take it in. You've got something behind you. And, you know, I challenge a lot of these people that made the negative comments to pick up some of these biochemistry books and some of these anatomy physiology books and go ahead and challenge me on that. And, you know, then we can sit down and judge each other, because that is where I am. That is what I'm doing. I do it for not only my kids, but the kids in the community, his kids, any kid, any adult. You know, there's a lot of adults that are coming out of these institutions that are clueless. They've been in there 15, 20 years, and they're coming out with no direction. And 9 times out of 10, they're going back. Unless somebody steps in and says, you know, hey, come on, you know, I can show you how to do this because I've done it. And it speaks a lot better to that person than somebody that's just read it out of a book. I've lived it. I've done this. And, you know, I've had 1 foot in the grave. I've been shot several times. I've been stabbed several times. I've been, you know, in somebody's sociology class, somebody's microbiology class. I've done a lot in this short span of life. And some things I wish I could say I regret, but I don't, because if I did, I wouldn't be where I am. You know, I would not be able to get where I am if I didn't know what I know. And if I didn't know it, I couldn't show someone how not to get there. And that's exactly what I want to do. I don't want to have any regrets. I want to just take somebody else and say, you know, if you put your leg in this square right here, it's broken. And if you step where I stepped, you're going to break your leg like I broke my leg. But if you step over here, I can show you where you're going to have 2 great legs and you're going to make it.
How do we, what should journalists be, like, how do journalists do this better? I think there's a lot of mistrust in the media. And I think films like this maybe add to it.
The only real way that y'all make sure that, you know, there's no more mistakes like that is y'all cover and y'all be honest on what y'all cover and what y'all here for. Like, don't come at me like, oh, okay, I want to film you on physiology, whatever class that you say you in school for. And, but then I'm all in your house and I'm trying to film you and basically see how your lifestyle is. And be like, oh, no, but she lived like this over here. And you know what I mean? And she disciplined her kids like this and all this. Don't come with a hidden agenda. Come with exactly what you put on the table. Like, you know what I mean? If you say you need help, I'm going to come with you for help. I'm not finna come with you and be like, oh, I'm finna help you basically to see what you're doing. Then to go back up here and gossip and be like, oh, well, she can't discipline her kids. Or, you know, she can't pay her rent or she got man problems. I'm not finna do that. I'm finna come and assist you on exactly what I'm here for. So you got to stand. So that's why a lot of people are like, no, I ain't finna be on the media. I'm not finna. That's why they duck from cameras. That's why they, you know, tell people to get out their face when, you know, cameras get to come in and all that type of stuff. So, but like I say, once you come in, you got that bond and they be like, okay, we're going to cover it how exactly it shows and should be covered. Then it can be trusted. Once the words start manipulating the actions, then you're going to have angry people. It's just a simple fact. Like, if somebody told you, I want to help you with something, I'm finna guarantee you something, and it's about that time you do it, and they misword it, or I'm not finna do it, yeah, you're going to be mad. You're going to be upset about it. You have the right to. That's the thing between media and regular people. You know, but as long as it's a, I got you, I'm finna do it exactly how we agreed to, they're always going to be, and we can always sit down and discuss something and get the public word out there.
Yeah, it's tough. That the public needs to hear. I mean, a lot of these kids want the help, need the help, but are mistrusting of pretty much everything. Because like I said, if it's mistrust in your own home, where do you go? You know what I'm saying? Who do you trust? If you can't even trust home. And it's important that people get out here, like Taz, myself, Vaughn, Nishika, Freedom Fighters, and give people trust. Give people, you know, what we have to offer, which isn't much because, you know, money is being given to things that has no concern of ours. We fund in wars that have nothing to do with us. But we have kids over here starving and homeless and abused. And we have, with Unity in the Community, we have a great therapist, Debbie Pearson. She's a woman that will come in and take every case that I give her, you know, whether they can pay for it or not. And we'll go in and work with these kids individually, the entire family. Doesn't matter to her, you know, it's her passion to help, and she's fair, she's honest, she's not a person that will come in your home and, oh, you have roaches, or you whip your kids, or this and that. She figures out solutions, and she does her best to get to the bottom of why things are the way they are. And that's the kind of people we need. And she doesn't belong to either growth or development or vice versa. She's just someone that is passionate about helping. And we need more people like that.
Now, I want to go back to the media question for a minute. And I want to ask how important it is for you all to tell your own narratives. And I ask that question because you've been live streaming this entire conversation.
It's just because of what has happened with the BBC. We definitely don't want something to get misconstrued or reported wrong. And these other guys, Vaughn, and these guys know you guys, I guess, pretty well. I don't. So just because I'm like the face of probably about 300 memes right now, and all of them are seriously negative. My kids are like, whoa. So I just want everything to be, you know, where I can go back and say, uh-uh, that didn't happen, or that's the truth, that ain't, or, you know, but...
And just so you know, we have absolutely no problem with it, none whatsoever. But, like, you're doing it. We noticed that when Von is being interviewed, Von Mays with Program the Parks, that was for them, not you. I know you know Von, right? But he does it as well.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like this, you're kind of your own media, in a sense.
I got to use my kind of church voice now because I have a potty mouth, so I was just about to say I ain't fucked up about it, but.
We have beepers.
It's just, you know, that was a big learning experience for me. It was like, wow. So, it's just so that I know I'm okay. And as I grow to, you know, grow a relationship with what you guys do, how you do it, I'll be a little bit more comfortable. I'm definitely not the kind of camera person. And there's like several hundred thousand other people that are wanting to do interviews and all of this stuff now. So I have two phones just so that they stay on the ready. But yeah, it's just because that taught me a lot. It taught me a lot.
Understood. Just so you know, this will be edited. You will not be misconstrued.
Gotcha.
Yes. Both things need to
happen. Gotcha.
Yes.
LaToya, for you.
Oh, here we go.
LaToya didn't want me to ask her questions, but I'm curious to pick her brain. Just how do you go about building trust with people that you're reporting on and holding yourself accountable when you're doing a story?
One, I try not to drop in and drop out, right? So if I'm with you, I'm not coming to talk to you for 5 minutes and then saying, okay, I have to go, right? I'm there if, I don't know. If I'm doing a story with you and you're someone who says, okay, well, on this day, every single day, I walk 10 miles in the winter to get from point A to point B, well, then guess what? I'll come walk with you. And it's not because it's the scene. It's because I really want to understand, right? I want to know who you are, the good and the bad. And I want to be able to, like I said, portray you as a whole person. And then not only that, typically after my story's there, I follow up with you. I send it to you. And I say, hey, here it is. Please let me know what you think. Because I genuinely want the feedback. I don't disappear. I'm not running. I'm not hiding, right? I'm saying, hey, I live in this community. You're a part of this community. We need to work together because I'm not going anywhere and neither are you. So let's build this relationship.
Also, you might see the person next week. Milwaukee's small.
Yeah. It's like, I have nowhere to go, right? And I don't want anyone coming. Not only is it that I don't want someone coming after me, but I think that, I mean, I take my job seriously. And I chose this career path for a reason. And it's because I want to tell the stories of people. I want to tell the people the stories of the true stories of people like Taz and like Shonda. So, yeah.
Works for us.
Yeah. <That's
good. laughs> What about you? Let's turn the tables.
I mean, I think I came into this work critical of journalism. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of enter with just an awareness of how damaging stories can be, especially to communities of color or to just any marginalized community. And so I think I spend a lot of time... and angst sort of making sure that I do it right and making sure that I'm representing someone fully. I think that's sort of the word that I keep coming back to is like that idea of like how do you, because there's good and there's bad and it's all of these things and like how do you tell a full picture of what's going on and do it with like care and compassion And I think, like you said, like being responsible to the community that you're a part of.
And I think, like, I'm that way because I'm from Flint, Michigan. Okay. And so there
are you drinking that water, girl?
My family is, unfortunately. Well, they're not drinking it. They have bottled, but.
All right.
Yeah. There's this documentary called Roger and Me, right? Roger and Me was about the downfall of General Motors. My entire family worked for General Motors. But this was, I don't know, in the 80s, I think, maybe early 90s, that this documentary was made by Michael Moore. And so in this documentary, there's this scene where he shows this person skinning a rabbit. I have never in my life, especially back then, seen anyone skinning a rabbit in Flint, Michigan, right? And so I look at that, and I've always said, as a journalist, to find that one person doing that one thing, it's like, yes. As a person from that community, I look and I say, how sensational. So wherever it is that I work, I also live, and I think of that as my community. So I don't want to just be that journalist. Right? I want to be that community member as well. And I always look at it from that viewpoint.
I think that's a great way of like putting it. It's like, because like, you are both things. And I think that they have different, you're kind of pushed in different directions sometimes.
Well, I'm not a journalist, but with all this going on, I so want to run. It's been ridiculous. Yeah. I just was approached today by somebody who wants to make that comment that I made, that I can cook, babysit, and shoot my gun at the same time out of a song. They want to pay to make that a song. And I said, are you serious? And they are actually serious.
What do you think about that?
I think somebody has too much weed in their system or something. It's got to be. It's like, who, what? But I guess. I mean, the Cash Me Outside thing was huge. I couldn't fathom sitting down producing that, but hey, whatever floats their boat.
Yeah. Do y'all want to talk about next steps for you at all in terms of responding to this documentary? Or is there anything that we haven't covered that you wanted to get out there?
It's coming. Like I said, we will be definitely responding as a team. Taz, myself, Vaughn, Reggie, Moore, Homer, Gab, Jamal. Am I missing anybody? A few others?
Probably a few others.
There will be definitely a few of us responding with our own documentary, the true documentary, and like Reggie said, displaying all the things that they neglected to say, you know, that this murderess went on to be a paramedic, saving lives every day. This person is, you know, not what you put out there, and just, I mean, it was over and over and over and over and over again, and none of that was put there. And that's something, you know, he really wants to touch on and, you know, say, you know, let's show this. Let's show what they neglected to show. Let's show the real Milwaukee, you know, and the people that are in it, that are changing lives, that have changed their lives, that have children, that our mothers, fathers, and really out here doing our best to make a difference. And that is what we're coming with. So, I mean, that's the best we can do as far as showing the rest of the world in a rebuttal as to what they did.
Has any final words?
Really, no. I mean, we just need to put more you know, be more serious about a lot of stuff. Like I said, I've been in front of cameras, in front of mics, and for last past year and everything like that. So, and on newspapers and everything like that. So I'm willing, and I'm going to continue to, you know, do what I got to do, you know. And the only time I got to really press the issue on any type of media is when they, you know, misconstrued anything. Or you see what I'm saying? Or the media needs a follow-up of, you know, what we doing. Or want to see what's going on out here. Or, you know what I mean, something positive, you know, to, you know, speak upon. Other than that, like, those only two things I really got to say about, like, you know, aspect of me and the media and everything like that, you know. Like, when BBC, how they doing this and everything like that, we got to, you know, give them an image of what we are as a black people in the inner city, because that's what they try to deteriorate our image as, you know, human beings in the society is. And like I say, but other than that,
I think they use the word lawless.
Right. Like, that's what I say. Once they start deteriorating our image with words that they know that they take more serious than the black society and the black person does, you got to understand, to them, those words are almost like, hey, you are a murderer, you are a thief, you are this, just by saying it. Like, those words give people fear. People live by more of a word of being feared than they actually seeing that person.
Yeah, they resonate. Like,
I was labeled as a terrorist.
Jeez.
So.
This was after.
They labeled me as a terrorist. So you got to understand how people, you know, either people looking me up to see what type of threats or I send to people or I act towards people, or people looking at me up like, no, that's not him. There's no way he's, what type of terrorists give away, you know, book bags and do stuff for the, you know, for the community? What type of person does that? So you got to stand, once you start throwing words and start pointing labels and start throwing, you know, labels on people and stuff like that, either they're going to look up to see if it's a for fact or it's for fiction. So therefore, you have to stand up to argue, or you got to stand up to agree. So that's the only two reasons I come to in play where media falls. And for so reason, for this longest, these are the first people in media that actually, you know, stirred the wrong pot.
And let's keep proving them wrong, bro.
I keep proving them wrong. I'm going to keep them wrong, because that's, you know, that's it. I just throw that over my shoulder and keep going on. Like, you know, it's a fight that we got to go to. I can't be distracted by that. I'm going to let them know, hey, you know, you stuck your hand up there, I'm going to spank you, and I'm going to let you know, go sit in the corner, and I got these other errands and runs to make with these people that need help.
And we are not done fighting. We're going to keep on going, striving, doing what we do best, and not let this take too much up out of us, but we definitely got a rebuttal coming.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No worries.
Thanks.